Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Okay, it's time to talk news. Let's find out if the Beyoncé of Derry, political correspondent for the Irish Examiner, Aoife Moore, has some good news for us. Hello, Aoife.
Good morning. I actually do have good news. I'm always the bearer of good news now.
Yeah. What's it like? It's kind of like a rebrand for you.
Yeah, it really is. I was like the Grim Reaper there for a while, so it's good to have good news.
So, first of all, how are you? How was your week?
I'm good. My fiance is getting his vaccine today.
So am I.
Buzzing. Amazing.
I know, I wasn't going to say it, but I've said it now. I'll talk about it tomorrow because I'll tell everybody about it tomorrow and what it's like.
Yeah, it's your own business.
Well, I'm happy. I was planning to talk about it tomorrow, but today all I have to say is I'm getting it. I kind of can't believe it. It's mad. I think I might cry. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a strange time. Anyway, exciting times. Good news for your fiancé. Good news for me. What good news do you have for the people of Ireland?
I have really good news. So we are at the lowest number of people in hospital in 9 months.
Wow.
So there's 59 people in hospital. There are 8 adult hospitals across the country that have no COVID inpatients and 3 children's hospitals that have no COVID inpatients, which is so good. Amazing. The CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid, said that it was continuing in an amazing decline. Mm-hmm. And he said it's linked, obviously, to the vaccine rollout. Yeah. And we need to cherish these moments, which I'm sure everybody is, especially people who have had family in hospital. Mm. And yeah, the number of people who have received their first dose of the vaccine has surpassed 3 million as well. So we are trucking along. Last night's cases, there was over 300 cases, which is down a good bit considering we were rattling around 400, 500 for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So we're down. And then internationally, so the G7 met this week and Boris Johnson has promised 100 million doses to give away to other countries. Mm. People are complaining, saying, you know, it's not really enough. It's only a drop in the ocean. But I think when it comes to these sensible COVID behaviour, if Boris Johnson's doing something half decent, we should be pretty delighted about it. So at the G7 as well, this is what I thought was really interesting. They've decided that what they're going to do is they're not going to start to actively fight pandemics in the future. So they're setting up this center, and it'll basically be a center of research, a UK animal vaccine manufacturing and innovation centre. Mm. And basically they will research, you know, the movement of viruses from animals to humans like COVID is, in an attempt to, the G7 want to end any future pandemic, even the phrase future pandemic.
Send shivers down your spine.
I know, within 100 days.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, that's good. I hope that they would be doing something like that.
I also hate when the worst possible thing has to happen for governments to do anything, considering like Obama, when he was the president, set up a similar center to be like, we're due a pandemic, and then Trump closed it. Mm. So at least it's getting done. It's getting done.
Trump. That man, I swear to God. Okay, anyway, we won't focus on that. We'll focus on the positive. That's great. It's good that that's being set up. It's good to hear that more vaccines are being shipped to countries that desperately need them. And it's good news all around, and great news, of course, that so few people are in hospital as COVID patients at the moment. And indeed, that 300 number, that's the best in a long time.
Yeah, a really long time, considering they said, you know, the spread of the B117, we were going to have quite high numbers until everyone was vaccinated. So to get down to around 300, and I think it was low 300s as well, 319, I think. So, it's definitely positive.
And then, of course, the cohort for 30 to 39-year-olds opens this week. So it's just, things are just getting better and better. Okay.
Yeah, I've never seen so many people excited to tell people what age they were.
I know. One of my friends was like, you know, if you're turning 40 this year, you can actually sign up now. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize we were all announcing turning 40. Good for you. Okay, let's move on. Staying at the G7, what's being discussed regarding the Belfast Agreement?
Yeah, so the North is back on the table. This is our time to shine. Anything to do with the protocol, we're talking about the North. Yeah, there was a really extraordinary intervention this week by the US. So it was leaked to the Times in London. But Joe Biden's conduit in London basically read the Riot Act to British officials and said that Washington would not stand over anything that threatens the Good Friday Agreement, that Joe Biden personally would not have it. Any trade deal between the UK and the US would be damaged if Boris Johnson's government did anything that would threaten peace. It comes at a really important time as well, because we are now in the middle of summer. We're heading towards July, which is marching season in the north, and a lot of people are really worried, and it's quite tense because, as we know, the DUP and the UUP are heavily against the Northern Ireland Protocol, and they're saying that it's not workable. Now we have, we've got to the stage where the chief negotiator of the protocol, Lord Frost, is also saying that it's not workable. This is the man who negotiated it. So they're, the what the UK or what Ireland and the US are saying is that the UK really needs to get round the table and start negotiating properly, considering they negotiated this, they signed off on it, and now they don't want it anymore. That's really not a decent way to behave.
No.
The UK, for instance, I was speaking to the Secretary of State during the week, and he said that the EU weren't compromising enough. But it has helped that Joe Biden has said in no uncertain terms that you need to sort this out, because trade, obviously, with America is a massive thing for the UK.
Yeah.
And he's not going to have it if it threatens the Good Friday Agreement. So it's a welcome intervention. I spoke to Simon Coveney during the week, and he said, listen, it's no secret that the relations between Ireland and the UK are pretty bad at the minute. And he really welcomed Joe Biden's intervention, just to let the UK know, you know, the world is watching.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a reflection of Bill Clinton's involvement, you know, back with the Good Friday Agreement, isn't it? Okay, now, there was a big story this week to do with polling by political parties. Tell me about this.
Oh, I love this. Right, so I am openly saying I must be the most naive person in the world, because as a political correspondent, I had no idea that this practice took place. I was incredibly shocked when the story came out at the start of the week in The Independent that Sinn Féin, a number of years ago, gave members and activists fake IDs from a fake polling company to poll people around election time about who would you vote for. And they said they were from some survey company, and they had little IDs and stuff, and they never said that they were from Sinn Féin. So the story came out. I was very shocked. People were very shocked. Fianna Fáil's TD, Mark McSharry, said that he believed the Garda should be involved. And as a political correspondent, you can kind of tell when something isn't right, when nobody else is saying anything. And then it came out that Fianna Fáil had done it, that Fine Gael had done it, Leo Varadkar's team in Dublin Midwest had done it, the Green Party had done it, and it appears to be this was something that
common
people
practice,
did.
They
said that, okay, so to do a poll in a constituency is around €10,000, so that's incredibly expensive. And what they would do is, if they couldn't afford to do the poll themselves, they would, or to pay for the poll, they would do it themselves. And if you told people on the street, say that you give them a fake ballot and you say point to the person you would vote for, but if you tell that person you work for, say, Fianna Fáil, it skews the results.
Sure.
So it was better not to tell people. They've all apologised and said, yeah, it wasn't technically the right thing to do, we don't do it anymore. But it has been, I mean, for me, isn't it? Like, I don't know if many political correspondents would admit that they didn't know stuff, but I was very shocked at the start. But it appeared to me the people who had been around politics for quite a while did know about this, whereas younger people didn't, because, as I say, most of them said they stopped doing it around 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, quite hilarious.
Well, I just, I always think it's funny when someone is caught out and other people take delight in that catching, and then they themselves are caught out. It's always kind of entertaining to watch.
At one point, Simon Harris, the cabinet minister, Fine Gael minister for higher education, was on News Talk talking about how sinister it was, and at around the same time his boss Leo Varadkar was on Drive Time admitting that his party did it too.
Not great. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Amnesty International released a report this week in terms of crimes against humanity they allege are happening in China.
Yeah, so this is something that's been going on for a while. It picks up major news kind of once a year, maybe for the last few years. But they're an ethnic minority in China called the Uyghur Muslims. And it has been reported by Amnesty International. They did a long report that this is basically, it comes to a crime against humanity. What's happening is that people who are Uyghur Muslims are being taken to what the Chinese government call re-education camps, but what Amnesty call internment camps.
I'm not like re-education. I like how re-education camp is supposed to sound good. Like that sounds terrible also.
Yeah, I know. And it's quite sinister. And the re-education is supposed to be because you're Uyghur Muslims, technically you're not Chinese enough. So you need to be re-educated into how to be Chinese and in Chinese cultures. Mm. But basically Amnesty International said this was systematic, state-organized, mass imprisonment, torture, persecution, and all amounted to a crime against humanity. There was a really interesting New York Times podcast about this where a student, a man who lives in America, is a Uyghur Muslim, and his mother was taken to one of these camps. Mm. He had very little contact with her. Once he spoke to the press, he never heard from her again. And it's basically, now it's gone on quite a long time, since early 2017, they have been detained. It's very arbitrary, so you could be going to the shop and be stopped. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason for who is stopped. Mm. And basically, Amnesty International have called on the Chinese government to, first of all, admit to this and stop it. You know, the Chinese government deny that there's any issue here. This is just re-education camps. At the start, they even denied the camps existed.
Right.
But only through journalism. There was quite a lot done in the New York Times and quite a lot done with BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed actually got drones and flew above the camps and got photographs of them. I think it's one of these things that it always kind of has bubbled around in the background for the last few years. But I really believe it's one of these things that people are going to ask us in like 20, 30 years time. Why didn't you do anything about this?
Yeah.
Because we know what's happening.
Yeah. And surely, like, as you say, it comes up kind of annually, and organizations like Amnesty International are talking about it all the time. But surely it's going to take international political pressure to actually make a change.
The only thing I think will work will be something like, you know, the G7 having a meeting about it and talking about sanctions, you know, sanctions against China. Something to do with trade, something to do with their assets, because you have to actually show them that you care. Like, it's all well and good saying, this is terrible and we really don't approve your behaviour, but I don't think that's really going to push the Chinese government.
But presumably
very far.
China's economic power.
Yeah, that's why people don't want to get into too much of a row with China, because China holds all the cards. They're like the world's biggest superpower at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right. There's no way that looking back on this, we'll feel okay about it. And then very quickly, Aoife, before I let you go, what's the story? Our water is bad.
Oh, I hate this story. I love sea swimming. Long story short, there is water quality testing done every month. Part of, like, it's an EU directive that it has to be done all around Ireland. This group from NUI Galway decided that they would do it as well, but they take more water and do more tests. So the usual test that's done is around a litre of water from a swimming area. This crowd take 30 litre samples from around Galway, Cork, North Dublin, and they have found through their tests that some of the water, some of the swimming spots that are designated as excellent quality through the EU water framework have actually been found to have like really disgusting bacteria. They found this bacteria in 57% of 84 seawater samples that they analysed, and some of them were taken from water deemed to be excellent. They were also found in 78% of lakes and river samples. So basically this type of E. coli, it's called STEC, is carried naturally by cattle and sheep.
Okay.
And it's a risk to humans. Yes. And a very small quantity has the potential to do serious harm to humans. And if you were digest it or ingest it, it could cause serious illness. They're saying that the testing we're doing isn't thorough enough.
Okay.
Because they are taking 30 litres at a time and they're doing all the regular tests that we usually do, but they've done a couple more tests as well and they've found this bacteria. So they're basically calling on anyone and everyone who can do something about this to do it, because obviously we know people are so anti-C-swimming now, yeah, all around the country. It's so all, good for you.
It's well, all a lot of us had over the last year and a half. Okay, well, I mean, better to know, I suppose, and then maybe yeah, that'll put pressure on the right people. Even yeah, more, thank you so, so much. That's Even Moore, political correspondent from the Irish Examiner. Thanks so much for taking us through the news this week, not next week. Who knows what's going to happen next week. Have a great one, Aoife.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.